All right, should we get started?
Yep, I think it's time to get started, Craig.
All right. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to the afternoon session, as we like to call it, the afternoon keynote. Sorry, I got a large shirt. Sorry, hang on. We're going to talk about client management, and specifically, we're going to talk about Configuration Manager in Intune. Basically, what we've been doing over the last 6 to 9 months, as well as kind of what we're thinking about for the future. So before I start, my name's Craig Morris, Senior Program Manager with the Enterprise Client Management Group. This group actually owns the development of both of the products, so Configuration Manager and Intune.
I'm Dave Randall, Senior Program Manager in the Enterprise Client team, also responsible for the same products, Configuration Manager and Windows Intune.
Which is good because you're in the same team.
Yes.
Okay.
Same team, same set of products, same scenarios. All right. I'm going to let Craig continue on. I'll be back up in a few minutes.
I see. You're going to take a seat. Okay. All right. So first of all, hopefully I can see everybody. Hands of those that went to the foundation session this morning on PCIT. Okay. So probably a good half of you. Okay. Good. So you've probably seen this slide before. When we talk about people-centric IT, this session's very much going to focus on mobile device management as well as application management of those devices. What's the agenda? So first of all, we're going to talk about some of the key needs of today's enterprises. This is probably nothing new to you all, but let's just kind of we'll talk about how we kind of see it as far as Microsoft and how we kind of internalize it as far as thinking about the scenarios and the opportunities for Microsoft in this space. Then Dave's going to, you're right, Dave?
Yep, I'm good.
Okay.
Keep going.
Then Dave's going to get up here, hopefully, if he gets it back from the restroom in time. To talk about client management solution at the moment as far as what we've been building in the last 6 to 9 months. We've had two or three releases of both Configuration Manager and Intune over that time. And then I'm going to close with some of the things we're thinking about for the next couple of releases around this space as well. As far as kind of what our theme or what we kind of talk about internally within the group and when we're talking to customers, it really revolves around this particular mantra, which is enabling people to use the devices that they love to use, Windows devices, iOS devices, Android devices, PCs, desktops, Macs, Linux servers, et cetera, but making sure that the company's data is actually protected at the same time. So that's our kind of our challenge is how do we make these type of management products that people feel trusted and that they can use for their devices, but also protect their corporate data. This slide is probably fairly similar to you, especially if you've seen any of the keynote as well as the foundation session. It would be really great when we're building these types of products and we're using them and we're managing these devices, if we could put everybody in a silo. We could put all the users in one silo and devices and the apps and data in another silo. Unfortunately, it doesn't really work that way. When we started on Configuration Manager 2012, I think we started probably back in 2008 building that product. One of the things we wanted to build, and the way we kind of talked about it, was that we wanted to make sure that user X gets application Y, and we've really just continued to extend that. Now what we want to do is make sure that regardless of the device they're using, regardless of the applications they're using, and the data that they're using those applications for, we can provide a management solution that allows them to be productive in that environment. So if we look at how it would actually look in practice, it looks something more like this. Right? I'm sure, yeah, I heard some chuckles in the audience. It looks, actually, there's probably not enough lines drawn there at the moment. It's probably even crazier than that. But this is kind of the type of environment we're working in. The users, I think there was a note put in the foundation session, 52% of users today are using more than three or more devices to access their corporate information and corporate applications. So managing multiple devices for a single user, with on those devices, they're using twice as many, three times, four times as many applications, and then they're accessing another 3 to 4 times the amount of data on those applications. So when we think about mobile device management and application management on those devices, it kind of breaks down to three things for Microsoft and for our customers. First of all, it usually starts this way. "Hey, I've got this iPhone, and I want to start using it everywhere to do my work and my corporate work, and I want to get all those files that I have that I get emails on. More often than not, when we talk to customers, this is actually coming from an executive. So there's usually a, and I want it yesterday, written underneath this. But the way we kind of internalize that, the way we think about building our products, it's really about making sure that they can access those company resources in a consistent experience. Not just that they can access that those applications and data, but they can do it in a consistent way. So they're not necessarily having to learn new applications and new ways of accessing that corporate data. It's also about simplifying how those devices get known to the system, whether it's doing enrollment, workplace join, et cetera, and then being able to synchronize that corporate data. So it's great if I can get access to all those applications that I have, but if I can't use these devices to then access the files that I need to do my job for those applications, it really doesn't help me. So that's usually the first demand we get as an IT department. And then as an IT department, we're being asked to do less with more with less, asked to do more with less. So we're trying to have to manage all these devices. We now have, 4 to 5 times the amount of devices we originally had when we were managing just PCs and desktops. So we want to make sure we have a single kind of console that we can manage all these devices regardless of what they are. We want to think about deploying applications not necessarily to the device all the time, but also to the user. So regardless of what type of device the user may connect to the network with, they can always get the application they need to do their job. As part of that, though, and kind of I'll talk about that last bullet point in a minute, we also get this email from your security team that says, everybody's bringing these mobile devices to work, and they're accessing all this corporate data. I'm a little worried that they're going to leave it in a taxi somewhere, and I'm going to lose all this data, and then all the social security numbers of our customers are now published on Wikipedia. In order to do that, we need to make sure we have comprehensive settings to manage across those platforms, provide things like VPN, Wi-Fi profiles, as well as protecting those devices. So if they get lost, user leaves the company, et cetera, we can remove both the applications and the data that's on those devices. Okay, so how do we do all this within the Microsoft ecosystem? Well, first of all, obviously, we want to enable these devices to be used anywhere, and these users can use them. Single sign-on process so that we can leverage the connection between AD and Azure AD to make sure that when the user logs on, whether they're logging on over the internet or whether they're logging on a corporate network, they only have to remember one password, well, one password out of the 30 or so that they probably have to use to remember all the other applications they have on these devices. But at least for a corporate perspective, they only have one password. We're leveraging Configuration Manager and Intune, so Configuration Manager is talking through the Windows Intune service to access these devices over the internet. And then we tie that all together by allowing them to basically use all of these applications, whether they're a VDI or a hosted session. Maybe it's a Windows-only application, but they want to make sure it's provided on their iOS device. I think Martin Booth actually did a demonstration of using a remote desktop application this morning in the foundation session, or it's a web app, or it's a line of business app, maybe it's an application that's in the store, we can provide deep links to that. And then lastly, they're able to punch through or firewall through with VPN connections or an application proxy service. So that's kind of how we think about how we do this type of device management, whether it's on-prem or in the cloud. I'm going to take a step now and ask David to come up and talk about, based on all of this good stuff and how we kind of internalize how customers are using things and how they want to use things, Dave's going to talk about what we've done today, and then I'm going to come back on and talk about what we're doing in the future to kind of extend that even further. So I will hand off to you, and I'm going to go sit down there.
All right, thanks. I got the chair warm.
It's all warm.
It's ready.
All right.
Ready for you. All right, thanks. Before I get too far into this, what I want to do a show of hands. How many of you guys are on Configuration Manager 2007 today? I'm not going back to 2003, sorry. And I'm certainly not going back prior to that. So got a fair number of you that are still on 2007. How about 2012 RTM or SP1? Looks like about a third of you are on that particular solution. And how about on R2? All right, fabulous. Lots of you on R2. And how about any of you that have R2 connected with Windows Intune, either in trial or in production? Honestly, I expected to see a very small number of hands. And I think as you're here at TechEd, you'll see a huge number of benefits that we provide through that unified device management solution. So hopefully next year, when Craig and I are talking about all the changes that have come since TechEd last year, I'll have just as many hands on the Intune Plus Configuration Manager as we have all running Configuration Manager 2012 today. So here's what I want to cover. First off, I'm going to talk about some of the updated platform support that we have in 2012 R2. Then I'm going to spend some time talking about protecting data. Craig kind of teed up the conversation of protecting data with a variety of different capabilities that we have with the solution. I'll dig a little bit deeper into that. Then we're going to spend a bunch of time talking about managing user productivity. Typically, this is software distribution and the ability to deploy applications. So we'll spend some time talking about what's in R2 and what's new for that. And then lastly, I've got somewhat of a grab bag of feature support that was added in R2 that I'll call incremental investments. And at this point, I'd actually like to pause for just a moment on the incremental investments, because I've heard from a lot of customers that they have some concerns about the fact that Microsoft is going with Windows Intune, there's cloud-based management, and they're unsure about whether or not Microsoft is committed to the on-prem infrastructure that we're delivering through Configuration Manager. And I'll tell you, we're absolutely committed to it. We're building out extensions from Configuration Manager's on-prem solution to connect with the cloud, but we know that many, many, many of you are running Configuration Manager, and we continue to make investments through both the core engineering team as well as the sustained engineering team. So rest assured, Configuration Manager still gets continual improvements and investment from the product group. All right, so along the way, I've got a little diver that will show up on various slides. This indicates that there's a deep dive session by one of the other members of the product group. So those deep dive sessions are more along the lines of a typical 300-level session. I'll be doing a little bit more of an overview of the functionality. So if you see one of those areas that's got a deep dive and you want to spend some more time on it, please make sure to find those in your schedule builder and add those. I've also got them highlighted at the end here so you can know specifically which ones are provided by the product group. So let's move on to an added platform support. The first in R2, Configuration Manager 2012 R2, was Windows 8.1 support. And Windows 8.1 support is in the form of two mechanisms for getting those devices connected with Configuration Manager, both through Workplace Join and through the normal client agent that you're used to for Windows 7 and other down-level Windows platforms. That still works on Windows 8. Mac OS X received a bunch of updates for R2. One of the most notable, I heard from a lot of you, you were anxious to see Maverick support. R2 came out right around the same time that Mavericks was available. They weren't available at exactly the same time for the agent, but now that's available. The Configuration Manager agent for Mac is available in the Download Center. In addition, we made some changes for software distribution, settings management, and inventory as part of that update for R2. And for those of your end users that were using a Mac that didn't really like command line, we gave them a nice, pretty UI for enrolling their Mac devices with the R2 agent. If you've got Linux and Unix, for the most part, Linux and Unix are server administrative scenarios, but we did roll a new update to the Linux agent at the same time as the Mac OS X agent, and that supports the latest versions of the operating systems for Mac or for Linux and Unix. There are two deep dive sessions. One of them goes into Mac OS X and Linux. That's by Karen and Preeti, two members of the product group. And there's another overview session on Unix and Linux management using all of System Center that's done by Michael Kelly that'll be this week. It's a little bit more high level. There are some demos in it, but it's targeted a little bit more at the 200 level rather than 300 like the Mac and Linux one from the product group. In addition, we added support for mobile devices, Windows Phone 8, Android version, versions 4 and later, and iOS version 6 and later. I mentioned at the beginning for Windows 8, we have two methods of getting the device enrolled into the system. You can either use the regular CCM agent or you can use Workplace Join. Workplace Join actually uses the native OMADM protocol that's built into Windows 8.1. In addition, several other platforms leverage the OMADM protocol for enrolling these devices, Windows RT, Windows Phone 8, And then we ship a version of the OMADM protocol along with the Configuration Manager agent for Android. Otherwise, you've got the Config Manager agent that is supported on Mac, Unix, Linux, down-level Windows PC platforms, and of course the iOS MDM protocol for getting your iPad and iPhone devices enrolled. Once you get those devices enrolled, then we flip over to a new user experience. And in the case of Windows 8 and the Windows down-level platforms, we still have Software Center and the application catalog available for them to use. But for Windows 8, we also have a company portal. I'll spend a little bit more time on the company portal, but that's also available for other platforms as well. You'll get a view of what those look like on the different platforms as we go forward through this. If you've got Mac clients, unfortunately, the Mac experience right now is really limited to required software installation. The user does get notified, and they've got some UI there, but it's not quite as rich as what you would see for a self-service type experience. And as I mentioned on the Linux and Unix side, those are really server scenarios, so typically you're just doing a unattended client installation and not involving end users on Unix and Linux. Once you get the device enrolled, you need to make sure that you're protecting the data. So let's start out with the process of enrollment and explain how that works. You've got a variety of users with several different types of devices. And what you want to do from a management perspective is you want to get those devices registered in Active Directory. This will be your standard on-premise Active Directory, and you need to be able to ensure that your users are authenticating against your Active Directory infrastructure, and you've got those managed in Configuration Manager. So the first step that they're going to do is they're going to use Windows Azure Active Directory, and they're going to authenticate through a web application proxy, which then goes and actually passes those credentials over to ADFS, your internal Active Directory infrastructure, and receives a token back indicating whether or not the user had provided the correct credentials. I know a lot of folks are wary about ADFS and whether or not passwords and so forth are being stored in the cloud, but they're not. We're actually passing tokens back and forth from your local infrastructure where that information is authenticated against. Once that process happens and your user is authenticated, the device goes back and connects to the Windows Intune backend infrastructure. And through the connection to Configuration Manager, gets the policy necessary to configure the device. So once the enrollment has completed, Configuration Manager is now aware of the device, and any of the policies that you've got configured for the device can be applied. So what policies are those? I've got a long list of the different types of settings policies that are available by platform. Now, one of the things that you'll notice is there's a bunch of missing checkboxes. And as we continue to build out Windows Intune and Configuration Manager for additional platforms, rest assured that we're going to work very hard to fill in as many of those checkboxes as we can. Now, in some cases, the platform doesn't necessarily support some of those features, so we may not be able to do that and fill in the entire grid end-to-end. But we are working to be able to complete as many of those as we can as quickly as possible. We know that as we talk with you about what device support you need in mobile device management, many of these settings are high on your list, and you're really interested to know when we'll be able to have those. Craig will cover a little bit more of the features towards the futures towards the end of the session. But as I said, we're working aggressively to be able to fill out as many of these different mobile device management settings as we can as quickly as possible. The asterisks along the side are the ones that we added in R2. So let's talk a little bit about a couple of these which are really compelling for your overall end user connectivity story and protecting data on your corporate resources. The first is the ability to deploy Wi-Fi profiles. Now, as an end user, it may be that they've had to configure Wi-Fi either for their home network or maybe they've had to configure it for their corporate network. And oftentimes, your end users, as information workers, aren't as IT savvy as the rest of us in the room. It becomes confusing. There's lots of checkboxes, lots of three-letter acronyms. Very difficult to figure out exactly whether or not they need WPA2 or TKIP or what have you. And so through Configuration Manager, you're able to deploy the Wi-Fi profile directly to their device. Now, what's really interesting for the end user is that they no longer need to see any of that configuration information. Because you've deployed that profile and because you can use certificate-based authentication, as soon as the device is in your corporate network, it's going to go ahead and connect directly up to the Wi-Fi. So the end user, to them, feels an awful lot like magic. They bring their device in, the device automatically connects when it comes in proximity of your Wi-Fi network, and they don't have to worry about providing credentials or connections or anything. It's all just automatic and helps and happens without any intervention on their part. Now, I know in order for many of the mobile devices to work in different scenarios, you also need to deploy certificates to those devices. So through Configuration Manager and Windows Intune, we also support the ability to deploy root certificates and SCEP certificates to those devices. Notice that I did have a deep dive session on this. So Chris Green is going to be covering a bunch of the data protection scenarios. And if you want to see more information about Wi-Fi and certificate deployment, please attend Chris Green's session later on this week. All right, VPN profiles. VPN profiles, also part of Chris Green's deep dive session, but VPN profiles are another thing that make the device feel a little bit more like magic for your end users. Before I get to the end user scenario, though, if you've been working with Config Manager for a long time, you know that our partner integration typically goes something like this. We build out a feature, we add some platform support, we add some SDK capabilities, and then we say, vendors, come bring all of your information in and integrate with Configuration Manager. I know for OSD, we have driver packs. That's a common one, or maybe DCM packs. There's a variety of different ways in which the Configuration Manager team wants to make that platform broadly available, but this is the first time that we really wanted to ensure that out of the box, you get deep integration with the different VPN vendors that are out there and most common in your environment. So with R2, out of the box, we natively support connectivity to the listed different VPN vendors. Now, I mentioned that it feels a little bit like magic for your end user, and that's the automatic VPN connection. So in the event that the user brings their device to a specific DNS location, the VPN connection can automatically fire up and configure for the user. We'll also ensure that we use TPM module, and we can use smart card integration with virtual smart cards if necessary. Also, for application ID-based authentication or initiation for Windows 8.1, this is how I see the particular scenario playing out. On a Sunday afternoon, I've been busily playing on Xbox with my kids, and I'm having an awesome time. The weather looks cruddy on Monday, and I decided that maybe it's time for a vacation day with my kids to finish up my Xbox game. So I need to go connect to my time and attendance reporting system, which is on my corporate network. So I go grab my device, my Windows 8 device, and I launch my time and attendance application. And because I'm on Windows 8.1 and it's automatically configured to connect to the VPN, all I do is launch that device, it connects to my corporate network, I'm able to put in that I'm going to have a vacation day on Monday, go back to playing with my kids, and I've got an extra day off. So, Windows 8.1 work folders. How did I skip work folders? Sorry about that. I'm aggressively clicking on my clicker. All right, Windows 8.1 and work folders. Work folders was new with Windows 8.1 and Server 2012 R2. And you have the ability to configure work folders in Configuration Manager so that your users can have the data from work folders available on any of the different devices. We fully support this settings in Configuration Manager, and through the company portal, we also provide a link for users to get to their work folders. When we get to work company portal in a couple more slides, you'll see where the view that we have around company portal plays into work folders as well. Selective wipe. So you've got a variety of different ways of helping your end users connect to their corporate resources. You've got a variety of different ways of getting that data off to the device. You're managing that device with some policy, and that's now going to end up being merged on their device with their personal apps and data. Once they complete that enrollment process, now we've got two sets of information on there. Some are important for the organization, and some of them are important for your end users. So what's going to happen when we come up to a couple of common scenarios? The first one is that the device was lost or stolen. In this case, the end user, hopefully they've used a variety of different backup methods to get their own personal apps and data backed up. But in the case of the company data, you as an IT administrator want to ensure that that company data, the profile information, the settings, remote apps, whatever that may be out on that device, are also gone at the time that you do a wipe. So Configuration Manager supports the ability in the lost or stolen scenario to take that additional data that was there from the corporate policy and remove all of that so that in a lost or stolen device, there's no corporate data there. Now, of course, the personal data is gone as well. So then we get to the second scenario, which is that maybe the end user has moved on. Maybe they left the organization, or maybe they've upgraded their device to a different Windows 8.1 device or Windows Phone device. So in the event that they do that, either IT or the user can retire their device. Now, when they retire the device, all of that corporate information is then removed during the retirement process, and the user is able to retain that device and keep all of their personal data. So the only things that we'll remove are the policies and configuration and data that have been placed by Configuration Manager and Windows Intune. So selective wipe lets you maintain the integrity of that particular device, even if it's lost or stolen, or if it's retired as a user leaves or upgrades their devices. All right. So managing settings and policies. What I wanted to do is take a look on my demo system. Hopefully I can get connected back here. Looks like somebody grabbed my demo system. All right. So what I wanted to do is give you a little view of some of the different areas that we've got profiles for what I've talked about for protecting data, certificate profiles, email profiles we didn't talk about, but Chris Green will be covering email profiles a little bit later. We talked about VPN and Wi-Fi. So I've pre-created a Wi-Fi profile. Let's go take a look at the properties of that. This one's pretty straightforward. You'll notice I've got the standard settings that would make this easy for my devices to connect automatically. I can also control some of the standard Wi-Fi settings for this particular profile. And you'll notice if I go over to the supported platforms, which platforms these are available for. So Windows 8.1, including RT, iPhone, iPad, and Android. So these particular profiles, whether they be the certificate profiles, email, VPN, all of these are deployable using the same type of deployment paradigm that we have for other settings, such as DCM settings or applications or so forth. So you're going to deploy those, but in this case, you're going to deploy them to user collections. So wherever that user is connected with a device that they're registered with, that particular profile will follow them. All right, so let's go back to the next section, enabling user productivity. I mentioned earlier, primarily this is about application management. And probably the biggest shift in applications over the last year and a half or so is Windows 8 applications. Or the modern applications, there's another one that has to do with subways that I can't say that word. But you know which Windows 8 applications that I'm talking about. Those that are sandboxed, run isolated on a Windows 8 device. And you saw some demos this morning also, or mentioned from Brad's keynote, about how these are becoming more and more universally available across a variety of different devices, not just Windows 8 and RT. So whichever application you're needing to deploy, whether or not that's an internally built line of business application that would be a corporate app that you need to deploy from inside your firewall, or if you've got applications that you want to have available to your users that are in the Windows Store, either for RT or Windows 8, either way, you use the same process for deploying those applications as you would any of the other applications in Configuration Manager. Beyond the Windows 8 applications, we also do the same for AppV. You've seen AppV since we shipped 2012, but we also now support the ability to deploy applications from Google Play or the Apple App Store. So no matter what type of deployment you need to support, you can create a user-based deployment, make that available to your user collections, and whatever device they're on, the system will determine automatically which one it needs to deploy, which application version it needs to deploy. So when the user sees this list of applications, they're going to use the company portal. So I mentioned a little bit about the vision for company portal. Company portal is really the place where we want your end users to land when they're getting managed IT services from Configuration Manager and Windows Intune. The company portal is going to list all of the different applications that have been made to them by their role, or in the case of a variety of different devices, by device platform as well. You see, I've also got my devices listed. My devices will list all of the devices that have been rolled for that user. As Craig had mentioned, there's oftentimes several devices that a user will have that they need to be productive on. So they'll be able to see a list of all of those devices and perform some tasks associated with those, really around the retire and wipe functions. So even if I had lost my phone, I could come to my desktop, I could go to the company portal, I could see that other device, and I could initiate a remote wipe for that device. In addition, I've got some contact information that's kind of hiding back there. But the company portal is that one place that we want users to go to for their IT services that are provided through Configuration Manager and Windows Intune. So what does it look like on a variety of different platforms? On the very left is a Windows Phone 8. And in the middle is a Windows tablet. Then we have an Android device, and we have an iPad. So there's a couple interesting things to note about this. Being able to deliver an application across multiple different platforms meant that we had some choices about how we were going to present this information to our end users. And really what we wanted was a consistent flow from one device to another, because we know that users may have an iPhone that they carry with them, but they've got a Windows 8 desktop in the office. Or maybe they have an Android device and they've got an iPad, and both of those are enrolled for different scenarios. But in either case, this end user experience is consistent in terms of the list of applications that they get, the categories that they can see, how we provide featured applications and highlight those as their own separate section, or when you go browse and install an application, that experience will feel similar across all those platforms. But we had to make some concessions on a platform-specific basis because, for example, the entire UI construct for an iOS device looks and feels very unique and different from that of a Windows Phone 8. So what we did was we married the best of our user end-to-end flow with a native experience on both the Android and the iPhone iPad so that it feels like an actual real native application, but is still providing the services and the end user experience from Microsoft. So I want to jump back over to my demo console, and let's talk a little bit about the different applications and how you get those deployed out to the different devices that you're managing. So I've got an application here called Shapes. My Shapes application, I'm going to go take a look at the properties of that. And I'm going to go over to my Deployment Types tab. And you see I've already got a Windows Phone 8 deployment type. Let's go ahead and see what it looks like to add additional deployment types. Now, for those of you that started out with 2012 RTM, you remember this list was super small. We basically had MSI, AppV, and Script, and that was about it. And you notice release after release, we continued to build out the number of deployment types that are available as we extend the platform support. So what I want to do in this case, let's say that I've got a iOS application that I need to deploy, but that application already exists out in the Apple App Store. So if I select that application and choose Browse, I now get a browse experience right within Configuration Manager out to the Apple App Store. So I can go browse through, find the particular application that I want, and bring that into Configuration Manager. So that's going to bring in metadata specific for that application and include that as a deployment type for this, in this case, for my fake app shapes. Now, I could do the same for Google Play. If I click my browse button, you'll see I go to Google Play, and I could go find an application here in Google Play and bring that in. In the event that you are doing a Windows Phone app, Windows 8 app, you'll end up pointing to, if we go to App Package, you'll end up pointing to the Windows App Package installer that's local on the device rather than going out to the specific store. All right, go ahead and close out of that, and we'll go back over to the next area is getting these applications out. And I've heard from a lot of you that internally getting internet-based client management fully functioning and working has been a challenge. And although we've made a bunch of changes in 2012 and in SP1 to help improve that scenario, you still have situations where you want to be able to have your devices get the content from the cloud. So with R2, we added the ability to deploy to a Windows Azure distribution point. So this will copy your content up to Windows Azure and allow those devices to get connectivity through the standard content location request mechanism to find a distribution point that's out in Azure and download the content from Azure. Now, the next one, Microsoft Update, might scare you just a little bit. I know that usually you want to have any of your update content come from your internal servers, your internal distribution points, rather than having it go directly out to Microsoft Update. However, we heard that there's a bunch of scenarios where those devices are out on the internet and they don't really have that corporate connectivity. And so, at least as a fallback mechanism, you'd like them to be able to go to Microsoft Update to download that. So for fallback purposes, we did enable the ability for your devices to go get content out from Microsoft Update. The next area, continuous improvement, is kind of a smattering of various features that we've updated in R2. So let's first off start with infrastructure. I also have deep dive on here. So Jim Dempsey has got a session on infrastructure updates and improvements that we've got and has a full hour-long session on infrastructure. But in the case of those of you that are running Configuration Manager 2007, you are experiencing the need for multiple primary sites. You may have a central administration or a central site that you're using today, many secondary sites that are out there for distributing of content, getting status, and so forth. And in 2012, one of the things that we wanted to build out was a scalable infrastructure in which your primary sites were really more of a unit of scale rather than a unit of maybe security boundaries like they were in 2007. So role-based administration is one of the significant changes that we made in 2012 that helps you eliminate a bunch of your primary sites. Oftentimes, I found that customers were segmenting a primary site just for all their server administration, another one for all their desktop administration, and never the two shall cross. But using Configuration Manager 2012 with role-based administration, you can actually just delegate a set of machines for your server administrators and another set for your desktop administrators, and those are the only systems that they can update or manage. In addition, for SP1, prior to SP1, there was a requirement to deploy a CAS if you ever thought you were going to need a central administration site. We broke that requirement in SP1, so you can go ahead and deploy a primary site and add it to a central administration site at a later point in time if you want. And then we also provide support for untrusted forests in R2. That was particularly challenging for a lot of companies if they had untrusted forests and they wanted to be able to spread primary sites across those. Some changes that we also made from the infrastructure and policy perspective, we now give you the ability to assign a client to a different site. As you're building out scale, you may find that initially you're fully supported maybe up to 75, 100,000 devices on a primary site, and you want to build out another primary site, and you want to move a bunch of those clients over. So I know in talking with many of you, you've got special little scripts, you're using the client-side SDK, you're sending out packages, you're trying to figure out how exactly to get your clients reassigned and moved over to another site. Now this is just a right-click action in the console for your devices to be able to reassign them to a new site. We also, for recovery purposes, when you're doing recovery, you now have the ability to restore your SQL over to a different server. I know this was a particular pain point in SP1, so we took care of that in R2. I have a good longtime friend who I've been working with, and he and I had a conversation a while back. It was prior to the first version of 2012, and we were talking about Wake on LAN support. And he said, you know what? I'm fine with Wake on LAN support for updates and software distribution and task sequences, but you have a little bit of work to do on there, and I know that we did for our Wake on LAN solution. But beyond that, he expressed a particular scenario, which was he'd go home later on in the evening. Like most of you, IT doesn't stop at 5 o'clock in the evening. So he'd go home and he'd need to be able to remote back in. And because he wanted to be a good corporate citizen and keep his machine up to date with the latest power management policies, his desktop would typically go to sleep. And I know for a lot of your end users, this same situation happens. They want to be able to get back in, and oftentimes it's your IT guys, but depending on your policy, this may also apply for your information workers as well. But they can't get to it because their machine's asleep, and there's nothing they can do unless they happen to have some friend who's in the office that they can call up and say, hey, can you go wake up my machine? Well, that's relatively inconvenient. So with R2, we added the ability to do wake up proxy. The way wake up proxy works is there are several devices on a subnet that are managing the wake up process by listening in for data that's coming to other devices which are recorded as being asleep on the network. So when they find one of those devices that's getting incoming data, they'll go ahead and send a wake on LAN packet over to the device and wake it up. So now my friend has the ability to go home at night, have dinner with his kids, and still get an IT call or an email and remote back into his desktop if he needs to do some specific work there and maintain an aggressive power management policy. In addition, this also works with file shares. So if you're doing a net use into a file share on a machine, we'll also wake it up for that. Now, I know that some of you might be getting a little bit nervous about this particular slide, especially if you've got friends in your networking department. They may be a little bit even more nervous about what exactly this means. So grab the toolkit for R2. In the toolkit, we provide you with a capability of viewing all of the different activity that's taking place on your subnet. You can see which of those devices are designated for waking others up and which of them are marked as having gone to sleep. So it doesn't provide you with the ability to manage that process, but it provides you with insight so you can understand exactly how that's working for your subnets. I think it goes a long way to giving you a much better feeling about the overall process and that you're really not going to have the networking guys breathing down your neck about how this works. Software updates received a couple of changes in R2 as well. Many of you were interested in the ability to have patch-specific maintenance windows. So in R2, we now add a software update-specific maintenance window in addition to the ones which were for all deployments or task sequences. So the way this works is identical to the regular maintenance window that was applicable for software distribution, software updates, and task sequences. However, if you've got more than one maintenance window that's configured for a device, the software update maintenance window will ensure that software updates only get deployed even if there was a regular maintenance window available. So let's say you have a generic maintenance window that says Sunday all day, and you have a patch maintenance window that says Sunday from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. That software update maintenance window is the only time that your patches are going to get deployed. I know patches are typically quite critical as far as reboots are concerned. So if you've got overlapping maintenance windows between the generic and the software updates for your update scenarios, the software update maintenance window is going to win. Let's go take it with, take a look at what that looks like. So if we go back to our console and we take a look under Assets and Compliance, I'm going to go up to Device Collection. And let's take a look at our Executive PCs collection. Take a look at the properties and go over to Maintenance Windows. If I select New, this Maintenance Window screen is exactly the same one that you've been seeing. So no changes to the typical behavior that you have for a maintenance window. But you notice we now have software updates in addition to task sequences. So again, all of the things that you understand, know, and love, because I know you all love maintenance windows, they're not complicated. Has anybody had any complications with it? Show of hands. You're sleeping on me. I know there's more than two of you that have had issues with maintenance windows. Okay, three. All right, so all of the things that you know and love about maintenance windows apply to software update-based maintenance windows as well. All right, go ahead and cancel out of this. And some other changes for software updates, automatic deployment rules. ADRs receive the ability to view results of your automatic deployment rules by clicking the preview button. I know this was kind of a black box before, really difficult to understand what was going to be patched as a result of an ADR. So we give you a preview button for that now. In addition, it was a real challenge to take a new package and reassign that to an ADR. So we now also give you the ability to assign a new package into ADRs. All right, Windows Embedded. Windows Embedded is one of those areas that's been a real surprise in terms of how well it's taken off. We know that the typical scenarios for Windows Embedded are kiosks or ATMs or publicly accessible devices. But in fact, there's a lot more that we continue to see customers are rolling out Windows Embedded for. And in the case of endpoint protection, it was real difficult to know when you were controlling your endpoint protection client installation. So we now give you the ability to maintain your deployment in an existing maintenance window. In addition, for endpoint protection, you can also install the agent as part of the overlay and commit your changes or disable the write filter and commit your changes. And for those definition updates, we give you the ability to commit those changes or write them in the overlay as well. So making that overall endpoint protection story much better for Windows Embedded. All right, Appv5. Appv5 received a bunch of updates as well. Craig Morris is also going to be doing a session a little bit later with Heidi from the product group about application management, so make sure to see Craig again for more about AppV. But in specifically, Appv5 supported 8.1 and made some changes for the end-use needs-to-be-upgraded scenario. So we wanted to make sure that we had alignment with those in Configuration Manager. We also heard from a lot of you that the overall performance was a little bit less than stellar for AppV, so we made some performance improvements in AppV for R2 as well. And for those of you that are integrating through the SDK for AppV, whether or not you're creating new applications, new deployment types, we added similar support in the SDK for the scenarios that were enabled for AppV5 as well. Resultant client settings. Client settings is one of those areas, if you look in the UI, we continue to add more and more client settings groups. You want to be able to deploy these, and the more groups that we add, the more likely it is that you're going to have several custom client setting groups that apply to one or more collections or devices. So with R2, we give you the ability to view this information in the console. So you have a much easier way, either you or your help desk, have a much easier way of understanding which client settings apply to a particular device without having to go remotely connect via WMI and take a look at the policy set down on the device. So let's take a look at what that looks like in the console. If I go to my Executive PCs collection, I've got a custom client settings. So here's my Executive PCs custom client settings, and I've got that as targeted to devices. I can see my priority, and since I've got some comments, I know exactly what that is. So that's great. I know that I've got a specific custom client setting that's targeted to that collection, but if I've got someone who calls, someone who owns R318-4929, and they want to know why their specific settings aren't being applied, or maybe you're having some difficulty troubleshooting some hardware inventory scheduling or what have you, you can now see the different specific custom client settings and default client settings that apply to this one device. We also give you the priority there so you can understand which one applies, and then you can go back to resolve from there rather than having to try to work back. It's particularly painful if you have to connect back to the client and work your way back. So we made that much easier for you. All right, content. Content is king in Configuration Manager, and we know we push a lot of it around. And so for R2, we made a bunch of improvements for both the visibility of content moving around in the system as well as the overall performance. So when you're in in-console monitoring, I know a lot of you complain that it felt like a big black hole. You'd go do something, and then you'd wait, and you'd want to refresh, and you'd want to try to figure out what exactly was happening. Well, in R2, we added a bunch of additional data that was along that entire flow so that you have much better in-console monitoring view of what's happening. In addition, you can now configure branch cache for a DP. We added a new report that gives you usage information for your DP. So if you're scaling out, you now know exactly how many devices are connecting and how much bandwidth is being consumed. We made a couple of PowerShell updates for distribution point and content distribution. We also added a couple of fields for distribution points so that you can better organize and view the information about a distribution point in the UI. And in the toolkit, we give you a DP job manager tool. So if you're interested in understanding what is the priority of all of the different jobs that are going out to your distribution points, you get real-time visibility into those jobs, and you even have the ability to prioritize and move up and down those jobs so that one of them can happen sooner than another. So if you've got some critical content that's got to go out to a remote location and it was originally intended to go out sometime much longer in the future than you needed, you can reprioritize that. All right, distribution point report. Pretty straightforward. There's nothing too complicated about this, but I did want to show you this because it really helps for being able to understand where you might want to redistribute load using your boundaries to get clients connected to different distribution points. So I'll go ahead and run this. We'll pick one of my DPs. Now, since I've been doing this demo for a little while, back to February, when I didn't have much happening in my system, I've got a bunch of time periods here that have no content that was accessed. But I wanted to bring this up just so that you could see the type of data that you'll view for the distribution point usage summary. All right, OSD. Many of you love and cherish OSD, and we made a bunch of updates to supported platforms in R2. Windows 8.1, Windows Server, we updated the ADK, and we support Windows PE 3.1 for OSD. For virtual hard disk, we also added the capability to connect with one of our System Center partners, Virtual Machine Manager. So using Task Sequence, you can now export an image that will be used directly in Virtual Machine Manager. For those of you that are using MDT, I know that I've got a lot of people on who love MDT, use it regularly, a lot of people who are using OSD. But we found that there were a couple of tasks in OSD that were really necessary, tasks in MDT that were used regularly. So the validate task in MDT, we brought that over, and that's now called check readiness. The run PowerShell script in MDT, we brought that one over. That's called run PowerShell script. And the gather MDT action, we brought that over as set dynamic variables. So I've also had some questions about whether or not MDT lives on, whether or not OSD lives on, what's going to happen with those two products. The same product group owns MDT as owns OSD. We realize there's different scenarios for both, and we continue to invest in both of those tools. Aaron Chakowski is also here. He's got a deep dive session. I'd encourage you to attend that to get more information about OSD. Now, role-based administration, I mentioned, was critical for being able to segment out your administrators. And we've also now added this in reporting. So rather than running a report that saw all the devices, when you run a report for which you've got a collection-based scope, you're only going to see those devices or users that are in that particular collection-based scope. If you're integrating with the views, you'll need to update those to use the functions. Lastly, Configuration Manager is connected through Windows Intune. And because we can iterate on updates through Windows Intune as a cloud-hosted service quickly, that also means that we can get them deployed to you quickly without having to go through a service pack or cumulative update. So through the use of Windows Intune extensions, we have a connection back through the Windows Intune tenant that you've subscribed to and the ability to push updates down into Configuration Manager. It might sound a little bit scary because I know that most of you are used to having a process by which you can opt in to cumulative updates or R2 releases or what have you, service packs. So in the event that we add a new update through the Windows Intune extension, you'll get a notification that says new extensions are available. At that point, you'll have the ability to opt in or opt out. And if you opt out, you can opt in at a later point in time. But assuming that you do opt in, Configuration Manager will pull down an updated XML file for the administrator console to add new extensions, and it will give updates to the back end that are necessary for those new capabilities. We'll automatically deploy a notification to all of your IT administrators that there are new extensions available, and they'll get a one-time wizard to add those into their own implementation or their own deployment of the admin console. So you don't need to go redeploy the console out to all of them. The extensions that we have shipping today, iOS 7, email profiles, and Windows Phone 8.1. So at this point, I want to turn it back over to Craig, and he'll cover what's coming up in the next bit.
Thanks, Dave. So I think as Dave went through all of that, I think you can tell that we definitely haven't stopped investing in Configuration Manager, either for those PCs that are on your corporate network. So let's move forward a little bit and talk about where we're going for the future. So first of all, Dave was talking about some of the updates we've done since we shipped R2 in October 2003. In October 2003, we added the VPN, the Wi-Fi profiles, the additional app management, as well as some of those native portals for iOS and Android that Dave went through already. Since that time, we did another update in January. That's when we added the email profiles that you saw in the Intune extensions, as well as the iOS settings, data protection settings. We also added additional capabilities for Intune standalone as far as supporting things like remote lock and pin reset, as well as adding to the settings capabilities in Intune standalone. As of May 2014, i.e. basically last week or starting last week, we also provided an update. We provided an Intune extension for Windows Phone 8.1 support. That is now available to all new customers of the service as of last week, and we'll be continuing to roll that out to the existing tenants over the next week or two. So look for that. We also added Samsung Knox standard support. For those of you who have been around a while or have looked into this already, this was originally called Samsung Safe. They rebranded it, so now Samsung Knox Standard is what was called Samsung Safe. And then they have Samsung Knox Premium, so we're premium or advanced, I think it was called. But anyway, so that we're also looking at those additional capabilities. There's a lot of settings, a lot of configuration, a lot of MDM settings for that particular platform. The other thing we're releasing in May, so when we talk about actually shipping a release, it's actually multiple releases. So we ship these Intune extensions, we ship an update to the service. We also update some of our self-service portal applications as well. So as part of the iOS and Android self-service portal, we added the ability to do a remote back to my PC. So that's kind of what we've been up to since October. So in addition to what Dave talked about, which was for the most part all the way up until October, since we shipped SP1, I think, in January of last year, it seems a lot longer, but since January last year, a lot of the stuff that Dave demoed was around what we shipped in R2, and this is subsequent to that. So, looking forward, We spent a lot of time in the March-April timeframe talking to a whole lot of customers all around the world, not just in North America, but all the way around the world. And some of the things that became really interesting to us is when we got the RFPs from a lot of customers, they had this long list of 100 different things that they wanted to solve with mobile device management and application management for those devices. But when we really boiled down and we dug into the more details with these customers, it became apparent that the first things they were trying to address was these three areas here. So being able to manage corporate-owned devices. So in the tablet space, for example, there's a lot of, especially in like retail banking, task worker type applications, a lot of visibility and investigation is going on about actually providing tablets as a replacement for dumb terminals or task worker type terminals that you would traditionally have. So there's a lot of work going on there. So how do we enable corporations to do the bulk enrollment of these devices and then deploy them on that rapid basis, much like we would do OSD today for more PC-based applications? Conditional access, this is one of the things that a lot of customers have been asking about, like, how can I make sure my mobile devices are managed before I actually allow them to have email? How can I make sure that when they're accessing their email, they're accessing their documents, they're done in a secure way? And then lastly, how do we manage that productivity and data protection space on these devices? So I know Brad gave you a great demo. Actually, Julie on Brad's keynote gave you a great demo on the Office mobile apps and how we're providing, working with the Office team to do managed Office applications. We also provide an application wrapper for your iOS and Android apps. In addition to that, obviously, there's some other things you normally get through email, like you get links, you get audio, you get video. So how can we make sure you have viewers that are also available to you to allow you to take that corporate audio file or that corporate video file and actually use it in a managed application so that you're then not able to share your company meetings, you know, pre-release video out on your Twitter account. Okay, so when we break it down, we talk about corporate-owned devices. It comes down to a couple of things. First of all, support for Apple's device enrollment program, so their DEP program, this as well as the Apple configurator. So today, when you're deploying the iPads, you connect a whole bunch of them up to your Mac device, and you're able to push out a configuration file somewhat similar to a task sequence to those devices. So how can we enable that? With Apple's DEP enrollment program, or the device enrollment program, you're able to do that over the wire. So we have full support for that coming up as well as being able to enroll those devices using a service account. So rather than having to have the end user enroll their individual devices, as an IT pro, you're able to enroll that 10 or 50 or whatever the case may be set of devices for them, so then you can hand it to them and it's already been configured and enrolled in your management service. Now, I see lots of photos taken here, so that's great. Configuration policies. So the other thing you want to do is with these corporate devices is be able to lock them down, right? Whether it's supervisory mode, some might call it kiosk mode, whatever you want to call it, being able to lock these devices down so that you can run one or two applications. Maybe it's got specific URLs that you want to enable. So being able to support lockdown through supervisory mode, being able to target specific policies and apps to devices. So when we first released R2 and Intune in October, we only supported user targeting. We now support device targeting, or we will support device targeting, I should say, in the future for these devices. We also have the application install and allow and deny list. So this is a list of applications that you either allow to be run on that device, so maybe it's a small set of applications, are there any applications that are able to run, or you're essentially creating a list of applications that are not allowed to run. And then lastly, as I mentioned, being able to provide URL allow and deny. So you may say you can only get to, especially in the retail space, you're only able to get to my corporate website and you're able to do shopping on my corporate website. Okay, so when we think about mobile productivity and we think about that demo that was done in the keynote, we kind of think of it as similar to what we do today with regards to network access and how do we make sure that we have this kind of defense in depth moving forward. So when we first think about how do we protect the device, we think about device lockdown. So you're able to define a set of settings they kind of lock that device down. It has a pin, you can disable cameras, you can disable screen capture, etc. That's great, except all of the applications that are on that device are still able to share all of that corporate data with one another. So you're able to, for example, post your company's performance before it's public onto your Facebook account. So how do we prevent that? Because that doesn't sound like a good idea. Second thing you want to do is you want to be able to lock down those applications. You want to make sure that you're not actually able to share data between your email account and those types of other applications that can publicly expose that data. So it's talking about being able to then wrap those applications, making sure that you can define the set of applications that are able to communicate with each other and those that are not. That's also good, but it doesn't actually necessarily prevent the application from moving beyond the device itself. And the problem is that the application does this for all of the data that's actually used. So the third layer we want to apply is kind of that data wrapping. So being able to define whether this application, this data file, for example, is a corporate data file versus a personal data file. So that's kind of how we see this. You know, often people will talk about this containerization, right? But we kind of see it more of as a defense in depth. Containerization is great at one level, but until you get through all three levels here, as far as protecting both the device, the application, and the data, you know, you're not really securing that corporate asset, which is that data file you want to protect. So when we think about how we want to do that in the future, what are the kind of functionality that a customer would need to be able to do that, boils down to two things. Conditional access policy. So making sure, for example, that an end user cannot actually use email or access those documents on that SharePoint or that OneDrive for Business without the device actually coming under management. When it's under management, then we're able to apply those security policies that kind of give you that device-level lockdown. The other thing you want to do is once you've got it into management, you also want to be able to revoke that access if it falls out of compliance. So it's great that I've got this device under management, but it's very easy for the user then to accidentally fall out of compliance. So how do I use that carrot and stick to make sure that, you know, if I'm not making sure that device is compliant, that I then actually revoke their email or revoke their access to documents? And one of the sessions today, this week, I can't remember whether it's Chris Green's one. Actually, I think it's Dilip's one on Thursday. We'll talk about how do we do some of the conditional access type scenarios. And then lastly, obviously, being able to actually configure those email profiles. Then we actually need to protect those applications and the data themselves. So being able to contain all of the corporate data within those corporate applications. So we want to be able to make sure we can push as well as uninstall applications centrally. So when we shipped R2, we were able to essentially publish those applications. Moving forward, we obviously want to make sure we can also push those applications either to a device or a user to make sure that those applications are available to the user when they need them. We also want to be able to provision iOS managed apps and accounts. So one of the things you want to make sure you do is with those Office applications, make sure that they're available and you can lock them down so that they can't cut and paste between other applications. For line of business applications, we provide an application wrapper that allows you to wrap those applications so that make sure that they can also participate in that corporate environment where you're able to cut and paste between Office, et cetera. And then access to applications via using a VPN connection back to your corporate environment. So Dave talked a little bit about this. We're continuing to evolve that. You may actually have different VPN profiles, for example, for different applications. So how can you configure those various apps to have different VPN profiles? And then lastly, I touched on a little bit already, is protecting that, providing a protected web browser, a PDF reader, audio and video files, so that when you get those files through your corporate email, again, you're not able to then post them out on Facebook. And continuing our selective white story, Dave talked about what we already do today, but once we've delivered these types of things where you have these managed applications, you also want to make sure you can then remove those applications and remove the data files, the corporate data files, but not your public data files, from those applications as well. All right, so that's kind of talking about where we're kind of going in the future. That's our roadmap essentially for Q4. We're busy working on that now. And so how do we make this real? How do we make sure that, how do you get from where you are today to this environment, right? So we want to make sure that you can get from to Configuration Manager R2 and Windows Intune the service, It allows you to then manage both your PCs, your Macs, your Linux servers, as well as these mobile devices. Quick diatribe here. It's kind of interesting. We talked about, you know, being able to manage all these devices, but as we're able to manage all these devices, those devices essentially go away, and we essentially start just managing the users, and the devices are just a conduit for them to get the applications and the data. So if you've already got 07, and I was really really impressed that the majority of you are already on 12 or either RTM, SP1, or R2, so this hopefully is starting to become the more of the minority. What you can do is you can deploy an R2 environment connected up to the Intune service as it is today, start and rolling those mobile devices, and then when you're ready and you've got your migration plan sorted out, you can start migrating those existing PCs over to that environment. If you've got R2 already, it's just a simple matter of signing up for an Intune account, and then you're able to connect to the Intune, and then you can start enrolling mobile devices today. Your nice, friendly console that you're already using in R2, you can continue to use. You just happen to see in the same node where you have all of the devices, you'll see PCs and you'll see mobile devices. They're all in the same place. And then if you've already got Windows Intune, it's just a matter of continuing to use it. We automatically upgrade that environment as fast as we can. We're pretty much on a fairly regular cadence at the moment. And you can start enrolling those new devices. For example, your 8.1 devices, you'll be seeing that update in the next couple of weeks for new tenants that haven't already signed up to the Intune service, either for Configuration Manager or Intune Standalone. If you sign up for a new account now, you will actually already have that capabilities. For existing customers, it's coming out in the next week or two. All right, let's bring it all back home. So, mobile device management. When we talk about mobile device management, I really want to make sure it's clear that we're not just, you know, we spend a lot of time focusing on mobile device management. It's just a logical extension of what we're already doing. We're already managing your devices on your corporate network. We're already managing your users. This is just our investment area at the moment that we're spending a lot of time on because we know you're having these questions that are coming up from your customers and from your end users today. It's like, you've got my PCs under control. You've got them deployed. They're all configured how I want them. But I've got to manage these other devices as well. When we were building 2012, we had the same discussion. It's like, you guys are focusing on this user-centric thing, and you guys completely forgot about this device-centric thing, which is not the case. We continue to invest in the device-centric thing. It's just that we were building this additional capability on top of the device-centric way of managing the environment. So this is just another logical extension of the platform that we have, which is Configuration Manager and Intune, continue to extend it to make sure that you can manage your whole environment. All right, Enterprise Mobility Suite. We talked about this morning in the keynote. Basically, what does it include? It includes the Azure Active Directory Premium. That's how you manage your devices. For those of you that may have missed the foundation session, they had a really good demo on some of the new capabilities and wizards that are coming out on how to deploy the integration between on-prem AD and Azure AD. If you can, make sure you check out their video. They've got a deploying ADFS was complex, shall we say. They've definitely spent a lot of time thinking about how customers want to deploy it and how they can make it easier so people can get up and running on it. Also includes Intune, and then lastly it includes Azure Rights Management Service. That kind of ties all of that demonstration that Julie did this morning in the keynote. All right, so sessions. So Dave talked, you know, you saw the little man jumping in off the diving board into the deep dives. These are the sessions. You'll see the ones that are bold here. These are the ones that are being presented by other members of our product group. So we've got Jim Dempsey doing the deployment and infrastructure configuration. We have enrollment and management being done by Chris Green. Application manager, myself and Heidi will be doing that Wednesday morning. Protecting your corporate data will be Dilip. And then what's new in OSD deployment. So, you know, Dave touched a little bit about OSD and MDT. That's the session you want to go to if you want to get a complete deep dive in what's happening with OSD. And then we have Mac and Linux support. Who's doing that one? Is it Corinne? Corinne's doing that on Thursday. So those are the sessions that are currently being done by the engineering team. Obviously, there's a bunch of other sessions wrapped all around how Microsoft thinks about managing these applications, managing these devices as well. And there's some additional content. being presented. So as you can say, it's very much a focus for Microsoft, this people-centric IT, and how do we enable these users to manage all of their devices, their applications, and their data. And then, of course, we can't forget the instructor-led labs. So there's a bunch of instructor-led labs being done. For those of you that are used to kind of our tracks as far as Configuration Manager and Intune, we've always done these instructor-led labs. We continue to do them at TechEd. As well as there's also some hands-on labs you can do as well. There's a bunch of resources available to you. And don't forget to complete your evaluation form. There's some nice prizes involved in actually completing those evaluation forms. We have 2 minutes left, so we can take some questions, but please fill out the evaluation form, and we will stick around for as long as we can until somebody else kicks us out for their next session. Dave and I will both be available tonight at the session tonight at the Expo Center as well, if you want to stop by and ask us any questions there. Thank you very much for your time. I hope we kept you awake after lunch. And thank you very much.
Thank you.